Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
Take you to the Hotel Martinette in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
To these music shows. So it's the subject of the night is back to reality. Now these reality shows, do we love them? Do we hate them? What do we do about the cast? What happens when the cameras stop? Do they stop or do they continue to dream? And what do we think of them? Do we accept them as real artists? Or do we just think that they're just fly-by-night people that we're not going to have to worry about after that season is over? Got a lot of surprises for you tonight. Well, not a lot of surprises, but got a lot of information about reality shows, actually how far they go back. Some people that you might not even think would be a part of a reality show were some of the legendary artists of today. And we also have a special guest coming in, Mr. Deshaun Warren of MTV's Making the Band 4. He's going to come in a little bit later. I think my one of my middleman co-hosts is on with me, if I'm not mistaken. Al, you there?
Here we are here, man, live and direct.
Kev, you here too? I see. Okay, I see the coffee. There it is. At any time, if you want to call in and express your opinion, if you're on the phone with us right now, go ahead and hit that number 1. If you're not on the phone, you're listening from the website, you can dial 718-508-9972. And we can get right into it. So these reality shows, American Idol, Making the Band, America's Got Talent, America's Best Dance Crew, all these shows, they're a part of our culture. You know, 365 days a year, reality shows are playing. And more often than not, they are about music. But before we get into that, I want to talk about a little entertainment news this week. You know, we have the Grammys coming up this Sunday. It's the big Grammy weekend in L.A. They got the All-Star weekend going, too. There's a lot of events going on. Over the last couple of weeks, there's been some talk over the internet about Chris Brown. Now, apparently, he's gone to the courts because he wants to have this restraining order lifted that keeps him away from Rihanna. His lawyer argues that it's very restraining when it comes to things like award shows. Of course, this year they're both nominated for Grammys. And if you recall, it was 2 years ago when they had the incident. It was during Grammy weekend when the assault occurred. So there had been some talk about it, about whether or not Rihanna's people were going to agree to it. And actually today they did. They agreed to it. Kind of. E! Online reported that Rihanna and her lawyer requested that the restraining order be taken down to level 1, which would basically mean that Rihanna and Chris could have contact and be able to be in the same events. You know, they wouldn't have to be 100 yards away from each 100 feet or anything like that away from each other. And the only stipulation is that if Chris doesn't annoy, molest, or harass her, these are the exact words on the level 1 of the restraining order, that he cannot annoy, molest, or harass her. The lawyers have all agreed. They've approved of the change, but they still need the judge to sign off on it so they can have any contact. So, quite frankly, what they're expecting to do is tomorrow they're going to actually have the judge signed off on the restraining order. They have it lifted. Now, I'm not being funny, but annoy, molest, or harass. Rihanna, if y'all seen her last video, I think everybody on the video did that.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody, maybe not the annoyed part, but definitely after seeing that last video, everybody molested and harassed her, that's for sure. And by the way, that video has been banned in several countries. And it's even been flagged on YouTube. She's not very happy about that. You know, she doesn't understand. She's saying, you know, that how could they ban her videos? Her videos are art. You know, never mind the S&M name of the song being S&M. Never mind her being tied up with the leather and all that stuff. You know, never mind all that. But it's been banned, and it's actually been the name of the song itself has had to be changed in Great Britain, which I thought was pretty funny. So I think Rihanna's getting that first little bit of she's getting that first little bit of flack that she hasn't gotten to this point. And of course, I don't think that any artist should really have to get flack for a lot of the stuff that they do, but I think in her case, it might be just a little bit overdue. Speaking of the Grammys, though, legendary double singer Solomon Burke is going to be honored, which I think is a great, great thing for the Grammys to do. They're going to have a tribute to him this Sunday on the Grammy. The problem I have with it is that Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is going to be the one to actually do the tribute. Now, call me the conspiracy theorist. You know, say what you want, but if it were a tribute to the Rolling Stones, I don't think Ludacris would be doing it. You know, if it were a tribute to the Beatles, I don't think Boyz II Men would be doing it. You know, I highly doubt that Kanye West would put tribute to John Lennon. So why would they have Mick Jagger do a tribute to this soul singer, Solomon Burke? Especially seeing that CeeLo Green is nominated for several Grammys, and I think he would be perfect to do the tribute. That's my personal thing. Hell, he kind of looks like him. You know, I don't want to cry racism in this, but let's just be honest. This is more political move. First off, anybody out there who has ever followed the Grammys, the Rolling Stones have never, ever appeared at the Grammys. Ever. Mick Jagger, the solo artist, has never appeared at the Grammys. This is going to be the absolute first time. So I think this is one of those, hey, we kind of owe you an apology, so we got a spot for you if you want to do a tribute to Solomon Burke. And what's the connection? You know, I could see if it were a tribute to maybe Muddy Waters. You know, of course, if anybody doesn't know, that's where the Rolling Stones got their name, from a Muddy Waters song. So I could see if it were a tribute to Muddy Waters, maybe. But Solomon Burke, I can't get the connection. You know. But hey, I don't want to cry conspiracy theory, so hopefully, I will say this. I can say as a vocalist, I think he'll do the song justice, but I think he's going to turn it into a rock version of it, to be quite honest. And, you know, that kind of takes away from the fact that it is a soul song done by a soul singer. Am I reading into that too much? Let me know.
I don't think so, man. I mean, I can agree with your opinions about it. I mean, I want to know who was on the nominating committee that thought it was a great idea for Mick Jagger to be out there. Sweating it all.
Yeah, that just it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. But hey, you never know. So anyway, I'm not gonna touch on that too long. Let's go ahead and get right into this topic. But before we do, let's go into our first break. I'm feeling a little musical tonight. I don't know about y'all. I've been listening to a good R&B all day. I know we had a good discussion on R&B last week. And I've been listening to it all day. And this new R. Kelly album, I'm really, really feeling this R. Kelly album. It's Love Letter is a great album. If you have not heard it, you definitely need to go check it out. What we're going to do for our first break is we're actually going to play one of the songs from that, and that is Not Feeling the Love. So this is R. Kelly, Not Feeling the Love, from his new album, Love Letter.
You used to laugh when I touch you right there. Well, that hurts. Lately you've been acting strange towards me, baby. And your heart has seemed to have grown straight cold. You used to laugh at everything I say, baby. Now you play me like my jokes are old. Yeah. And girl, we used to talk about everything. Like dancing till we're old and gray. And all those photographs I took, yeah. You don't give me that same look, yeah. When I ask you, you say everything's okay. Well, I'm not feeling the love. And now I see you standing there, I can't find you anywhere. I'm not feeling the love.
Feeling the Love, taken from his new album, Love Letter, that's in stores now. Really feeling that joint. Mellow, you know, soulful, yeah. Melodic. He actually wrote it for Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah, you can hear it. You can hear it, but he wrote it for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you know, Michael Jackson passed. So, you know, he just decided, hey, I'm going to... The chord is kind of like a tribute, but it's also a good song. So, you're back live. We're talking the town with Nick Eden, the Middleman Present, Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. And today we are talking about back to reality, reality shows. I got some couple of stats here. American Idol, since it debuted in 2002, its artists have collectively sold over 100 million albums. It's 100 million albums in 8 years. this is going into their ninth year. That's crazy. When you think about it, when you think about it, this is collectively. This is not just the winners. This is everybody that's involved.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really deny that. Yet a lot of them catch a lot of flack. They get a lot of backlash because it's like, you know, they're looked at as not being real artists. You know, they're looked at as not being, you know, authentic because they didn't go the traditional way or what people perceive as the traditional way. And I think from that angle, from a performer, and Al, I know you can probably speak on this just a little bit. You know, but those opportunities, especially when we were coming up, when we were younger, they didn't have those opportunities like that. You know, you had Star Search. If you were able to make it to New York. Go ahead.
Yeah. Nothing to that magnitude where you can also get TV time with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of TV time. And, you know, some possibilities of getting some endorsements even if you don't get picked or you don't make, you know, you can make a fool out of yourself and end up on somebody's TV show.
Exactly. If you look at someone like William Hung, who, if you're not familiar with this guy, that was an Asian guy on the second season of American Idol who got up there and he sang Ricky Martin, She Bangs, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
The song was horrible. It was absolutely horrible, but at the same time, he was so popular, he actually ended up getting a record deal and putting out an album.
Yep.
And his first week numbers weren't really that bad.
He made some money there.
Yeah, the guy made some money. And I think that goes into the reason a lot of people feel like the artists aren't authentic. But my thing about it is, it's a lot of people, you don't know their backstory. You know, we see these artists on TV, we see them up there, we see them singing. That's our first introduction to them, but we have no idea what their backstory is. Just a couple of quick examples I can think of. First thing that comes to my mind is Ruben Studdard. You know, prior to American Idol, if you were in the Alabama, lower Tennessee region, you were very familiar with him because they had he and his band, Just a Few Cats, they were the number one band in the area. You know, they were selling out shows all over the places, getting booked all over the place. It's just, you know, going in and recording and doing demos and just do, like, really getting out there grinding and making a name for themselves. Yeah, people say, oh, you know, he got on American Idol. That's how he found. Well, that was his national exposure, but you still never know what this guy's background is. Another example of that would be Day 26 from Making the Band 4. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize there were 3 record deals between them before they made the band. Willie actually he was in another group out of Chicago called Quiet Storm. They had a video that was on 106 and Park. They were signed to Virgin Records. They had a video that was on 106 and Park. It was in rotation of Midnight Love. It never took off. They lost their deal. The same thing with Robert. He had a deal. He was signed to Michael Bivins when he was 10 years old. The Biff 10 Pee Wee All Stars. You know, the same thing with Brian. He was with Rap-A-Lot. Like, it's, you know, these people have backstories. People get out there and grind. It's not like people just wake up one morning and say, hey, I've got talent. Let me go ahead and do this because I just decided 2 seconds ago that I want to be a singer. You know, and I think the proof is in the pudding. Like I said, American Idol sold over 100 million albums, you know, over the course of these last 8 years, which is great considering the climate of the music business right now. Yeah. With Making the Band, out of the 8 albums that have come from Making the Band series, 5 of them have debuted at number 1 on the Billboard chart. You know, you can't deny the numbers. Even as recently as Susan Boyle from she was even a winner from Britain's Got Talent. She her album, since 2009, she sold 12 million albums worldwide. And that's a 54-year-old unattractive white woman.
I can't even make a comment on that one, man. I'm not even gonna say nothing. I'm gonna gonna let it go.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can't deny it. You can't say, "Oh, that's just selling." So you know that's why she made it. No, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. You know, so you never know. I'll say this much. Yeah, you do have to weed out a lot of the bad. And the thing I don't like about, particularly with American Idol, they become more about the actual TV aspect of it than the talent. You know, they have the people on there dressed up crazy, singing on there knowing they sound bad, you know, but yet they still, you know, they put them on through. And it's a lot of good talent that don't get put through because of it. But at the end of the day, based on what I've seen come out of just traditional record deals, at least I know that the winner of these shows is going to be a good singer. At least I can say that. He has vocal talent.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of backlash that goes into it. There's a lot of backlash that goes into it. I was recently on YouTube, and about a year ago, Dave Hollister, which is Dave is one of my favorite artists, one of the better R&B vocalists of the last 20 years, and you know I can honestly say that you know we're pretty cool, but I had to disagree with him. He did an interview in which he kind of bashed, he kind of said some of the things that I was just saying that people say about those reality shows. We can go ahead and pull that clip up. This is Dave Hollister. He's talking about the stars that come from reality shows.
For all those people out there that are willing to, you know, that are wanting to be in the industry, man, I say start out as a background singer first. It's nice to do American Idol and Gospel Dream and Sunday's Best and all of that, but we, those who sweated blood, sweat and tears, and paid dues to get here, we don't respect those people because they didn't pay no dues to get to where they are. And that's why a lot of times, you know, you see the American Idols, nothing against them, but the American Idols fall off because they don't have no longevity. They don't know how to, they don't have no
sustain. They don't know how to
sustain. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't even watch those shows. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I'm glad that my niece, Yana Crawley, won something.
Oh, yeah,
better.
Well, hey, that's a different breed.
You know.
See, Yana's been around a long time. And she's paid dues.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, that's different. You know, and not just because she's family, but she it was her time.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I just don't, you know, going the way of the competition and all of that, that's why they never around. They don't stay around.
That was Dave Hollister. In an interview where he pretty much, you know, he said that the artists that came up like he did, they don't really have respect for those who come from the reality world. But I gotta wonder, when, and I've actually talked, like I said, this was about maybe like a year and a half ago when he did this interview. I've actually talked to him about this since then. I can honestly say that he has kind of changed his view on it. You know, one of his, you know, better friends in the business is Ruben Studdard, actually. So, you know, but I gotta wonder, when Dave was first starting out, had there been an American Idol, would he have tried out?
Wow, that's a good question.
Like, I really think so. Matter of fact, I can take it a little
not only just American Idol. I mean, you know, we have other contests that he could have probably been a part of that maybe he would have had some interest in trying out for.
This is true. Who's to say that if they didn't have Making the Band in the 50s and the 60s, that the Temptations may not have tried out for Making the Band? You never really know.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, just looking back on the history of reality shows, see, a lot of people think that it started with American Idol, these music reality shows. It really, it didn't. It goes back as far as 1948. The first reality-based music competition show, or talent show, on TV was Ted Mack's Original Amateur Hour. That show premiered in 1948. And the funny thing is, one of the most famous people to come off of that show was Gladys Knight.
Wow.
Gladys Knight appeared on the show when she was 7 years old. This was in 1952. She was 7 years old and she won the Amateur Hour. And then just from there, there are some other shows. Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scout, that also premiered in 1948. The older people might remember the Gong Show in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then probably most known in our generation was Star Search. Now, on Star Search, you had Aaliyah, Destiny's Child, Usher, Martin Lawrence. Yep. I mean, just a lot of people that we look at as like, oh, yeah, these are our... Now, it can't be debated that these artists, you know, they put in work, blood, sweat, and tears, the same type of things that Dave was talking about. But when they had the opportunity to do those things, they did them. Does that make them any less of an artist than a Fantasia Barrino or a Jordan Sparks or a Day 26 or a Danity Kane? Do I think it makes them any less? No, I think it makes them a little bit more seasoned. I do agree with that. There is a level of artist development that I feel is missing right now in the music business. But considering that you can't just put that on reality shows, you have artists that, you know, their version of artist development is, hey, can you sell some records? Or can you get some airplay? If you get some airplay in your local area, we'll give it a shot. Sign you to a ringtone deal. Is that artist development? Does that make them an authentic artist, a real artist? Mm-hmm. What about those people behind the scenes who are, and shout out to people over at Bad Boy. As a matter of fact, we're going to have somebody from Bad Boy on the show in about 2 weeks. But can you honestly sit there and tell me that Cassie is more of an authentic artist than Fantasia? Something to think about. Fantasia came from reality shows. Cassie came from, well, we won't go into that. We'll talk about that on Talk of the Town this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you want to voice your opinion on that, you can call.
Oh, yeah.
718-508-9972. There's some pictures that came up this week. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but there's some pictures that came up this week again. Is she an authentic artist? Is it authentic for you to go into a record label and audition, and you get a deal from the audition, or maybe go in there and sleep with the CEO? And it's males and females that do that.
Yep.
I'm going to leave that alone, though. But, you know, it seems like a lot of people, especially a lot of the older artists from the 90s and the early 2000s, are the ones who have the real problem with that. I remember when Susan Boyle's album came out, you know, she had the record for a female on the Billboard charts, the highest debut. The person who had that prior to her was Ashanti. Now, Ashanti's mother, Tina Douglas, she had a bit of a problem with that. And she was just basically saying that, you know, while she's happy for Susan Boyle, she feels like that they put in years and years of work with Ashanti, and, you know, she didn't just come up out of nowhere, and when she came out in 2002, and that, you know, here comes this artist from a reality show. And the running theme I get is just that the artists that aren't on top of the charts anymore are the ones that have a problem with this. Now, I could be wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong. I could be. But, hey, what can you say? Now, I'll also say that there was a scandal a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember this or not, Al, but where Irv Gotti admitted to, you know, having an affair with Ashanti.
Mm-hmm.
And he was her producer and CEO.
Yes, sir.
So does that mean she's authentic?
Hey, we can look at it like, you know, like it is. She did what she had to do to get in the dough.
Exactly, which is I think that's my biggest thing about it. At the end of the day, if you can wake up, look in the mirror, and say, you know what, I'm glad I did that, or I can accept the fact that I did that to get to this point, then I don't really care how you got on. Because at the end of the day, I'm concerned about. And we have this talk all the time, you know, about hip-hop and R&B and the artists that are out right now, and they're not really, you know, oh, this artist sucks, this artist. But at the end of the day, we're more concerned about, okay, what am I going to do?
Yeah, right, yeah, I mean, it's so many ways that there are people that are getting in the game that we can probably just name and list that and probably just blow some of these folks' minds. But yeah, sex is one of the ways that you can get in if you, I guess if you're good enough and if they want you.
Right. If they want you bad enough. They want you bad enough, they'll get you. Now, speaking of the different ways of getting the game, I got another clip that I want to play. After we play this clip, we're going to go ahead. I'm getting in touch with my guest right now. He's having just a little bit of technical difficulty. But we're going to get into the second clip because going back to what... I'm going to give you a backstory on this. I don't know if you had a chance to see Casey and JoJo's reality show on TV One about them, you know, recovering from alcoholism and drug use.
Right.
But to promote the show, they went on to Jamie Foxx's Fox 4 Radio. And Jamie Foxx, being a big fan of Jodeci, he wanted to talk to them about how Jodeci originated. Now, Dave was speaking on, you know, maybe starting out as the background vocals, getting in blood, sweat, and tears, and doing all this and doing all this to get to the point where you can get that record deal. In this case, and I want you to listen to this clip, Jodeci literally drove to New York. They looked up MCA Records in the phone book, and they drove to the office. They went into the office, and they waited for somebody to hear their demo. I want you to listen to this clip. This is Jodeci on Foxhole Radio talking about how Jodeci got signed to Uptown MCA.
We go to up to the office. We see Heavy D. We starstruck. We see Heavy.
Damn.
So anyway, going on the elevator, we actually see Dre, but we didn't know who he was. So we sitting in the, out there with the receptionist.
You mean like Dr. Dre?
And she like, what y'all here for? And we like, we just want somebody to hear our demo. That's all. She said, well, I'll try to get somebody, but y'all got to, it's going to be a while. Everybody out to lunch or whatever. Yo, we waited in the hotel lobby. I mean, we waited in the receptionist office, all that, in the lobby of the record company for like 2 hours, I think. And they was going back and forth. So finally, Kurt Woodley at the time was working there. He was A&R. Yeah. And Kurt was like, send him back. You know what I'm saying? So Kurt, we walked back there, you know, we all anxious and all that. So anyway, Kurt, he must have been partying the night before.
No shit.
We sitting there playing our demo. You know what I'm saying? He's nodding off falling asleep.
It's hot.
So we like this. Yo, wake up, man. He's like, you know what? He ain't gonna like it, man. What I think y'all should do is, man, y'all need to go on back to North Carolina. You'll do it over, bring it back, and then, you know, I'll check it out. Cause I'm telling you now, the president, he ain't gonna like this. So the country came out of us, right?
Huh?
I mean, I'm telling you now, our ego was already dead. So we said it, we're like, man, how the hell you know what that man ain't gonna like, man? How you let him hear it for himself?
Right.
I'm telling you, he ain't gonna like it. So you, I'll try. So when he got Andre, Andre came back in there. He played, actually, it was Come and Talk.
Are you kidding me?
Yo, it's Fox Home Radio right now. Focus. So Dre came in there.
You ain't got your boots on.
And Dre listened to, like, Come and Talk to Me. Like I said, we had a 30-song demo.
Right.
Wow.
And
this is a
smooth one. Four of those songs was Come and Talk to Me. I'm Still Waiting. Forever My Lady.
Oh, you fucking kidding me?
And Stay.
This is a movie, man.
And so, Dre, like,
yeah, he didn't like that. So Dre,
I wonder why.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you what happened with him later.
She'll
beat him up. So anyway, Dre like this.
I heard that.
Dre said, "Is that really y'all right there?" We're like, "Yeah, that's us, man." He said, "Can y'all sing that live right now?" Ish. North Carolina came out of it.
So
we stood up, and that was it. Next thing I know, that's when Heavy stuck his head in the door. And he did Dre. He gave Dre the finger like, yo, come here.
Yeah.
Took Dre outside. Don't know what he told him, but all I know, When Dre came back in the office after talking to Heavy, Dre said, where y'all staying at? We like told him we staying in Queens. You know, we ain't got no more money. He said, grab your jackets, grab your coats. I'm going to take y'all out to dinner. Ever since then, we've been on.
Man. That was Jodeci. That was Casey and JoJo talking to Jamie Foxx about their origins with Uptown MC. And we all know that, we know the history after that. You know, they Jodeci went on to do some great things and were one of the more influential groups in R&B. You know, and I think we give them credit as being very authentic artists. But it was simply a fact of them going up there and they auditioned at the label. They went in and they gave them their demo tape, and they listened. I want to break from that for just a second, and I want to bring in our guest, our special guest today. This young man, I had the pleasure of meeting him this summer. We both competed in a nationwide search done by Andre Harrell to find the next soul superstar. I was already familiar with this guy because he was on the first season of Making the Band 4 when the group Day 26 was made. He was one of the finalists. And one thing that stuck out to me about him was that he was focused, always focused, throughout the entire competition. And I remember at the end, Diddy said, don't worry about this guy because he's going to be a big star. And all the labels out there, you need to be looking at this guy. So I want to introduce our guest today, singer-songwriter, performer extraordinaire, Mr. Deshaun Warren. Sean, you there?
Hello? Hello?
Yo, you there, Sean?
Hello?
Can you hear me? I think we got him there. Hello?
Sean, you there?
Okay.
Sean.
Still having a little technical difficulty.
Sean, can you hear
him?
Okay, no, I think it'll call back in, but
okay, that's cool, that's fine, we got him when he comes back in. Did you hear the Jodeci clip though?
Yeah, most definitely.
Like, most, how crazy definitely. Is that?
Right, I mean, they they went up there on a chance, like, pulling the car to Monopoly chance.
Right. Didn't say anything about it.
They got it.
Between the four of them, they only had $140.
Right.
When they got to New York,
they were out of money.
Yeah. When they got to New York, the hotel was $130 for a night.
Yep. They were out of money. Yeah. I think Deshaun is bad. Let's see if we can bring him back in.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Couldn't get out of queue.
Alright. What's going on with you, man?
Hey, man, just grinding, man. Just came from a show piece performance in action.
Welcome to the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton.
Hey, man, yeah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Like I was just telling the listeners just a second ago, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting you at the finals for the Superstar Soul Search. But a lot of people do remember you from Making the Band 4. Can you talk about what was going on with you prior to that? Because a lot of people, they think that people get on these reality shows and they don't have a backstory. Like, they just woke up one morning and they just, you know, oh, I can sing, so let me go ahead and do this. You know,
right.
Can you talk about that grind?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, you know, I've talked to different artists about that a lot, you know, whether it be Making the Band, American Idol, whatever you I just start from the fact that even in Day 26, the group Day 26, you had two members that were signed before, you know, another member who the group technically wasn't signed, but he had placements in the industry. You know, so at least three members of Day 26 had prior industry experience.
Right.
For myself, you know, I had sung in multiple groups. By the time I did this show, I was doing music full time, like, is all I was doing. So, you know, I had performed at least once a week, outside of being sick or something, you know, perform once a week live for the last 7 years prior to doing it. So,
right.
You know, I really had been grinding. This is all I was doing going up there, you know, to that audition. I actually went to do the audition because of another vocalist that I used to sing with that I thought would enjoy the opportunity. So I went there really because of him.
Man. And did you made it further than him, right?
Yeah. We both made it through the initial audition day, but then there was like a second, like a callback day, and that's when I progressed. And unfortunately, he didn't go through at that time. But that's what happened.
Now you know what's crazy about that? What's crazy about that is that's the exact same reason that Ruben Studdard went to American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
His band, Just a Few Cats, one of the background vocalists in there, she wanted to go. She wanted to go to Nashville to audition. He was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that." He was like, "We're doing what we're doing now. We're selling out shows. We're recording the album. I'm not gonna go." She was like, "Can you go to support me?" And he ended up making it all the way to the end. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wish there were. I know they've shown it on Centric. But everybody who has not seen that episode, that season of Making the Band.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that that was the best season of Making the Band, period.
So many people didn't show, too. That's a shame, you know, that I think would have helped influence people and kind of really teach them more about the business and more just how about the mentality of the artist who made it.
Right. Now, with that exposure, you know, of course, there's a lot of good that comes with there, and then there's some bad that comes with there. And I, for some reason, I keep running into all of y'all guys from that season. Like, I keep running
into
y'all.
Yeah, they just sitting down in Atlanta, New York, you know.
Yeah, and I say, especially in 2010. In 2010, you know, I met you. I met Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Dre for a couple of years. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
So the good that comes with that is the national exposure, but is there a lot of backlash to it? Is there a lot of, oh, you're just a cast member, so you're not really authentic?
It's bigger than you think. It's like, it's actually international exposure. That show ran everywhere. So
right.
It's like, I get hit up even to this day with people all over the map that otherwise, at least up to now, I wouldn't have been exposed to. So there is a great benefit from that. I think on the negative side of it, it's just sometimes how a show is edited, not even in their intention and how they film it, but in the editing can at times not show things or put you in a light that doesn't really represent who you are. You know, just
right.
People don't really kind of get to see your full story. So that you know, can be tricky. There have been some moments from the show that people didn't see the full, you know, situation. And can kind of leave people with a negative opinion of whether it be myself or anybody else on the show. But, you know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Right. Like, I think in one case, I think in your case in particular, going back to the season, I'm not going to touch on it that much longer, but I do remember when you guys came back and they had you split up to open for New Edition, when they were talking about when you had the jacket, you know,
right.
Which
that's a good example
of
that.
And as a performer, I'm like, yeah, because they got black. The white is gonna accent it. He's the tallest guy in the group. Like it's gonna look
right.
Like you know, like a pyramid. It's gonna look hot. And it was kind of.
Well, the funny thing with that is that what happened was we got split into two groups, right? And the group that I was in actually didn't look very much like a group. You know, just the members they put together. So then what
right.
happened on top of that, just because of the type of performer I am, Michael Bivins actually didn't want me in that group. He was like, I like this kind of swag. It was different from them. I don't really want him in that particular unit. So what
right.
actually happened is they choreographed it where I was separate. It was like a feature almost. So I didn't even come on stage with that group. But because
wow.
of editing, you didn't see the beginning of the performance. So you don't see that I wasn't on there in the beginning. They actually came out doing some steps as a four-member group, and then I came out later. You know what I mean? Like if they brought out Drake or... you know, a rapper or something like that. It was that type of thing. So I came on stage separate from them. They split the stage, two to the left, two to the right, and then I come up the middle. You know, this is how they choreographed it. I spin
right.
around, pimp my jacket, then spin around, back around to the audience and started the performance. They didn't show any of that introduction, so it just looks like I'm on stage with the rest of these guys trying to be different when actually I was separated from them before this performance even started. Then what I had on was a product of me telling them, even though I wasn't particularly in that group, I told them, I was like, listen, in a dark venue like this, when you black, like, you don't wear all black. Because you have lights on you. You can't be seen. You know, you need something that reflects light. Now, the group I was in at the time, nobody really had experience like that. So it was like, except for one member, you know, so nobody really got it until New Edition came out in all white suits. And we were backstage looking at it, and they got what it looked like. Like, oh, wow, I get it. Like, it's quite a new thing, you know what I mean? But that was just kind of an experience thing. So it was like when and it got chopped up into the show, it kind of looked like I was on some old studio album. It's all about me.
Yeah, doing your own thing. I got you. So talk about life since the show. Like I said, you know, I've seen you and like we're Facebook friends. You know, we were in the competition together. You've been grinding. Talk about life after the show. Like, what's been going on with the music?
Well, I've done a lot of stuff. I actually, like in Philadelphia, they have a really big music conference. So, you know,
the Radio
like the
One
show,
music
I'm always interested in really pushing myself and getting exposure, but also just testing out my skills and, you know, honing my craft. So I did a music conference here in Philadelphia and won an actual single deal at that time with a label, with a major imprint label.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, like, the paperwork for that situation, you know, some of the stipulations in it aren't really a good look. So, you know, I had to let that one pass. But beyond that, you know, I've been writing and placing records. I actually went down to Atlanta, wrote it up. I did a song and Day 26 was like one. So I've moved down to Atlanta, recorded with them. I've since helped develop a couple other groups myself. Not that I'm in, but I'm just like as a writer and an artist developer. So I've been doing that. I did the Apollo. You know, I was on that three times. You know, progressed to the final on that. I've just really been grinding consistently. I work with a major imprint in Philadelphia on my own project and on a couple other acts, like I said, a group and a female artist. So I work on both sides of the fence, you know, as an artist developing myself and also as a songwriter slash exec developing other acts.
Okay. Do you have an album that's coming out anytime soon or something that we can check out now on iTunes? You know, we would definitely want everybody to
You can always reach me at SeanPenn.com. I have music up on there. That's SeanPenn.com. And then I'm recording my project now. So I've been even up to last night and recording and working on that. So hopefully we'll get that out to you sometime this year.
Definitely. What we're going to do is we're going to post the link to your website on our page on Facebook. We're definitely going to get everybody to go check that out. And actually what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I know you're a busy man, so we're going to go ahead and let you go now. We're going to play one of your records. When you sent this joint to me, because I just, prior to that, I just heard the stuff you had on our stage.
Yeah.
When I heard this joint, I was like, oh, okay. All right. I got you. It's got some potential.
Yeah, I'm always doing more music. Always doing stuff. So, you know, we expose some of the stuff or some stuff, you know, we hold back or what have you until, you know, we have another time to do it. But I'm glad you got a chance to check it out. Hopefully everybody else will enjoy it. You got to get my vibe from that.
You got one with this one. I'm going to definitely be playing it on the show a lot more. So definitely want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes out of your day, coming in and talking with us. And we're going to go ahead and play that song by Sean Penn, Club So Lonely, here on Middle Bay News. Talk to the town with Nikki.
The club gets so lonely.
A Ducati body, a beautiful mind. Yeah, you got it, shorty. You here with your girls, but ain't got nobody. You before,
I know.
You're over this, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
You've had the fun, but now you want a man to come along and give you what you never had. Let's not pretend.
So long.
time, but ain't saying nothing. Offering dreams like they doing something. Too blind to see all this time you really wanted someone to love. I know you're over this. Yeah, I understand. You said you're fun. Now you want a man to come along and give you what you never had. Can't pretend.
Sean Warren, a.k.a. Sean Penn with Club So Lonely, here on the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. Man, that dude, yeah, he was singing on that, man.
Yeah, it was a hard track, man. I will be downloading that track.
I mean, I'm just saying, though, I ain't never think about it like that, but, you know, sometimes you do be in the club like, dang, I just want to go home, but I ain't. All right, he felt that one.
Right.
But right. You know what? That's what's missing. Even on the songs about the club, what's wrong with some of these cats just singing out there? Like, he sang that. Like, you believed it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Right.
Eh.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, he actually believed it. So, ladies and gentlemen, what have we learned this evening? What have we learned in the world of reality television? There is life before reality television. There is life during and after. It's all about what you make it. Do I think that these artists are authentic? Absolutely. I think they're just as authentic as anyone else who was presented in front of you that may have a song that you'd be like, I can't believe that they got a record deal. But it is what it is. This industry isn't for everybody. I'll say that much. It's not for everybody. But for the people that have that exposure and the people that can get that chance to make something out of it, it shouldn't matter really what they did to get there, how what route they took to get there. As long as they make the best of it while they're there. So I'll say this much. I've tried out for those shows. You know, sometimes that's your way, sometimes it's not. If you look at someone like Bobby Valentino,
mm-hmm.
he tried out for the first season of American Idol and couldn't get past the first round.
Yep.
But he's gone on and he's sold millions of records since then. Has a very healthy career in the music business. He's actually getting ready to release a new album.
Right.
On the flip, you got people who've won reality shows and we haven't seen them since. It's not so much about what you do to get there. It's what you do once you get there. Not even the biggest thing about it. And I think the more that people are concerned about making quality music than how this person got to where they are, I think the music industry might be a little bit better off. I call it the hush syndrome. You ever been in a room with a bunch of people and they all trying to tell each other to be quiet and they all saying shh, shh, and end up making more noise telling people to be quiet? But if everybody would just hush, then you'd achieve your goal. If everybody else would stop being concerned about who this person is, how they got here, and just be concerned that, hey, I'm here, let me make some good music, the music industry would be a lot better. And reality TV isn't going anywhere. You may like it, you may not like it. It is a part of our culture. It is a part of American culture. It's not going anywhere. It's international. And they got more shows coming. NBC has two new shows. I'm sorry. They have one new show. They have The Voice, which is another singing reality competition. And then Simon Cowell has X Factor, which is another. And I encourage all of you singers out there, go out and try out for these shows. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? When Taylor Hicks went on American Idol, he said he went on because he figured if he could get on TV, he could get a couple more gigs. He didn't expect to win. But look what happened. He's been able to change his life, and the people in his immediate circle changed their lives too. Can't be anything too bad about that. Any final thoughts, Al?
Man, make it till you make it. All I gotta say, make it till you make it.
How the hell do you think that way you make it?
You got a man Kev is on, man. They wanna Kev, you wanna say something, man?
Man, great show.
Thank you.
Great show, buddy. Yes, I can smoke my red Abak. Please God now.
All right, well, don't do that in the studio.
I'm just saying, man, it's two successful shows, man. Great guests, great interview, great song, great energy. If you're not tuning into the show next week, you are a sap sucker.
And if you are not tuning into the Middlemen this Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you are a sap sucker, too.
Sap
sucker.
So I love the show, man. Great show today, man. Like I said, I enjoyed everything about the information. This is the real edutainment show. The real edutainment show. All you other fakers, bow down. Bow down.
Crazy. And don't forget to tune in next week. Because next week we're going to be talking about End of the Road.
What happened to the R&B groups? Where are they? And can the new guys do what the old guys did? We got a special guest for that show too. So make sure you tune in next Thursday on February 17th at 8 p.m.
Hey, I can answer that for you right now, Nick.
So what now?
I can answer that for you right now, Nick.
Answer it for me.
Hell to the nizzle.
Oh, man. This is talented cats out there.
You know what? I'm going to save it to next week. Y'all tune in. You want to hear my opinion next week, please tune in.
Please do. And make sure you check out.
Check it out, man. We got a few seconds left. That's great. Check it out.
Yeah.
Make
sure you check out Colors of Class tonight.
Yes, sir. Going down.
Go ahead and take a phone out with that interest for that after all.
the middle man shouted, beat Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, we'll pay attention to the real talk, what we here for. So take a listen time out, take a minute, shout and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, here, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey. I went to human resources this week to talk about some discrepancies with my check.
Okay.
And they told me to talk to y'all. So I figured the best time was to talk to y'all.
You know what, man? How about this? Call me next Tuesday, after the third Tuesday in February, after the 31st day of February on the 32nd. How about that?
What the hell?
We'll get you right then.
I hope y'all hear this.
We'll get you right then.
So if you hear, if y'all hear imitation Nick Eaton next week, just know that they didn't get my check.
How about this, man? Do you accept food stamp cards?
Oh yeah, sure enough. Straight up.
But it expired though.
No, I can't do that.
I mean, you know, it'll re-up next year.
If you got a WIC check, we can work with that too. I'm just saying.
Hey man, I'll get you some of them hard ass potato chips they be selling and that dried ass pile of milk.
I can do the milk though.
We ain't got no double cheese though.
I'm saying though, Marietta's water is real hard. So it'll be a perfect blend.
Yes,
just mix that right on. I'm just saying.
Hey man. Hey. You get the check though, man, you know. We pay on the 32nd day of every month. Give me the check.
There it is, man. Y'all have seen this. And that is the end of Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. Everybody, make sure that you tune in on Sunday. We got a doozy for you. We got a doozy on Talk of the Town, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about Diddy's ass. Boy, we're going to talk about Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
Take that. Can't stop, won't stop.
Well, we out. Well, you said you say my show. I can't even say that.
I know, man. You can't. See how you do? That's how I do.
Sorry.
I'm trying to take over. That's okay. That's all right.
Anime.
And we out.